Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayomi Zvachim Tzadi Dalet. We are holding at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, around 17, 18 lines off the bottom. Nitas Aloer. Suppose some of the Dam Chatos landed on a piece of leather, on skin, on the hide of the animal. Now, the Pasuk does say that any beged upon which the blood lands requires kibbutz. It needs to be laundered in a very specific, in the Beis HaMikdash, right? What about leather? What about hide? What about skin on the animal? Does that qualify for kibbutz? Or do you just, scrape it off or whatever? Says the Mishnah. It depends. It depends if it's still on the animal. Then it doesn't qualify for kibbutz. It's not like a garment, right? But if it had been removed, had been flayed off the animal, right? Nita is ala oir. If it dripped on the skin of the animal, before it had been removed, flayed, skinned, a noiton kibbutz is not required. However, after skinning, it's considered like a separate entity. It's like a garment, like a kli that's mekabel tuma, as we're going to see in the Gemara. And therefore, it is ton kibbutz. Kibbutz is required. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And despite the fact that it's still a raw piece of leather and wasn't really pressed into service yet, it's not really functioning as any, useful utensil. But since it's ro'oi, it's potentially capable of functioning, right? As we're going to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar Omer, no, af mishu hufshat. Even after skinny einoy toin kibbutz is not applicable, Rashi explains, because ro'oi, having that potential to be designated as a, useful utensil, is not sufficient, unless it's actively functioning. So at this early point, after skinning, it's not yet really, being used. It's not really susceptible to tumma. It's not a finished product. Kibbutz is not applicable. Af mishu hufshat ein toin kibbutz. And the Mishnah continues, sort of sums up the halacha in general. Ein toin kibbutz ela mokim adam. You only do kibbutz to the exact, spot of the dam. In general, if it lands on a shirt, you have to spot clean only. You don't have to throw the whole shirt into the washing machine. V'dovah shorot l'kabal tumah. And again, it's only on something which is fit for kabbalas tumah. Rashi explains, once again, we're going like Rabbi Yehuda now. Even though it's not yet been labeled and fully designated as a finished product, as long as it's one step away in terms of the material, it's suitable. As soon as it's, all it needs is to be designated, that's called ro'i l'kabal tumah. And third condition is ro'i l'kibbutz, it has to be something which you can launder, as opposed to, pots and pans and a piece of wood, right? It has to be some sort of, pliable material. And the Mishnah concludes, which materials are eligible for kibbutz? Ve'achad ha-beged, whether it's just regular, material, ve'achad ha-sak, or made of sackcloth, ve'achad ha-oir, or even leather. To earn a kibbutz applies. Ve'kibbutz needs to take place be'makom kodesh, in the Azara only. U'shviras klicheres be'makom kodesh. If a klicheres was used to cook, to repair the meat of the carbon, right? The pasuk speaks about the klicheres used to cook a chatos, right? So, because there is embedded residue in the walls of the kli, which cannot be extracted, so that kli needs to be broken, as per the pasuk's directive, where location is strictly in the Zora as well. Ushviras klicheres makam kodesh, and the thirdly, umriko shtifa, b'klein nechoshes, makam kodesh. Third halacha is, very similar halacha, you have the metallic utensils, pots and pans, klein nechoshes, copper, so these were used to prepare karbanos. You have to rinse them in a very specific way. And again, all this takes place makam kodesh. Any handling of carbon or carbon residue is makam kodesh, whether it's kibbutz on the beged, whether it's shvira on the klicheres, whether it's Mariko Shtifa and the Klein Nechoshes, all take place in the Azara Bakam Kadesh. However, as the Mishnah concludes, you should know that kibbutz is very specific. It only applies to chatas. to Dam of Chatas, and in fact, Zechimer b'Chatas, because the Shekadosh, that's one up, one advantage that Chatas has over all other Karbonis, even Kodesh HaKadoshim, that Kibbutz applies to Chatas only. But not only that, how do we know that in fact Kibbutz will apply to even things which are not strictly beged, like a shirt or pants, even, you know, other types of a material, sack and all that? But on Rabban, beged. So the pasuk says, "Asher yizah bidamo ala beged." Right, the adam of the chatas lands on a beged. So you would think, any other beged, perhaps only a real beged, a piece of material. Menayin the rabbis urmish shehufshet. What about skin leather? Tamalema asher yizah aleh. Techabes makim kadosh. That additional phrase in the pasuk, "Asher yizah aleh techabes," tells you it applies to other materials as well. How far do we take this? Yochel shani marba. Maybe I'll cover even actually hufshat, skin that was not yet skinned off the animal. Tamalema beged. We go back to beged, sort of back and forth, which teaches us ma beged horoy lekavotum. I've called horoy lekavotum. Just like a beged is something which is suitable for tuma, it's, you know, potentially a functioning item. Likewise, kibbutz only applies to similar items. Divrei, that's a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. As long as it's roy, right? As we explained before, as long as from the, you know, the materials standpoint, it's suitable for use, even though it's has yet to be designated as such, it qualifies for kibbutz. So the focus is on the material. Rav Lez Omer, not so quick. But it has to be actively functioning. So again, the starting point is the word beged in the pasuk. Ainly ala beged, perhaps only a beged qualifies. Menayin the rabbis sak, chavin begad. What about other materials? Tamalema asher aleo techabis. What about leather? Yochel shani marba er mishuvsha. What about leather? Even after it was removed, tamalema beged. No, we go back to beged to tell you, ma beged. Just as a beged is a functioning entity, and therefore it is, you know, susceptible to tuma. Davar shamakabal tuma afkol. Davar hamakabal tuma. Likewise, only things which are actually makabal tuma qualify. Ma binayu. How is Rabbi Lazar different than Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the criterion is roi lekavotum. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's mekavotum. It sounds close enough. Maybe now, Om Rabbi, yeah, there is a big difference. Here come three examples. Items which, you know, by the virtue of their material, are considered roi lekavotum. They're pretty much finished and ready to go, but they're not yet functioning entities. It qualifies for roi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, kibbutz applies, but it's not yet mekabel tumah. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's excluded. Amar Rabbi, for example, matlis, you have a little patch, material, but it's very small. B'chusim mishalosh, al shalosh, smaller than 3x3 figure widths. You can know that would be the point of difference here. Ma'andam aroi, hanami roihu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, roi is the trigger point. This qualifies. Diboy chashivale. Although currently it's not functioning, it's too small to really but you can decide to use this as a patch. So it's one step away, it qualifies. Manda Omar, however, according to Rabbi Lezer, who needs Dover HaMekabal Tuma, currently functioning at Mekabal Tuma, HaMeolav Bas Kibbutz Tumi. Currently it's not Mekabal Tuma, it doesn't qualify. Rav Omar, another example, Beged, you have a big material, Shechisha Oleo, Letzuri Kibbutz. Decide he wants to ornament, he wants to, you know, add ornaments to it. He wants to beautify it. Okay, so that will be a point of contention. Mandama roi. Point to be the roi is the qualifying criterion. Hanami roi. This too qualifies. The boy mevata lemachshavta. He can decide in a split second to cancel his plans, which reinstates this piece of material as a functioning entity. Mandamar davam kabal tumo. Hashtamia love bas kibulatumu. According to Rabbi Lazar, it needs to be currently an actively functioning mekabel tumah entity. Well, if he's still planning on adding trimmings, love bas kibulatumi, it's not yet mekabel tumah. Rav Amar, her third example, utzva, a mat, typically made of, you know, leather or whatever, which can be used as is, raw, duchashav alo lekatzah, but he decided he wants to, you know, trim the corners, fix them up, that will be another an item which is up for grabs. Mandama roi, according to Rabbi, the roi is the requirement. Hanami roi, there's also roi. Because again, you can just turn around and say, look, I'm going to use it as is. So it's one step away. Ma, it's, you know, the material itself is fully suitable. It's just that he has to make up his mind. Manda Omar Davar Makabotum, according to Belezer, Holab Makabotum, it's not yet Makabotum, Adam Katiel, until he finishes fixing it up. But as we find in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasir Emer, Utzva, right, this mat, Shechisha Vadal Koita, which he's still planning on trimming off the corners and rounding it off and, you know, fixing him up, Torah Shech Tiena, is Torah until that point. Okay, so again, the mission tells us, Kibus applies to Beget, to Sak, to Oyer, and according to Rabbi Lezer, it has to be a functioning, active entity, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as it has that potential, pending his, you know, decision. Einton Kibus, so you're only sparkling. How do we know? That's enough. Tan Rabbanon. Yochel Nita Zalmitas Beget. Perhaps if there was a splatter on part of the Beget, you call a Beget on Kibus, you got to wash the whole Beget. Tamaloy Masher Yize. Which teaches Loyamarti Lochaela Mokim Dal Mavad. Only that spot has to be spot washed. Dova Shore the Kabotuma says the Mishnah. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. Roi is enough. Potential is sufficient. Stomach Rabbi Yehuda. The anonymous Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. The word Roi Lekibus tells you. Only something which is suitable for laundering. Limuti kli, as opposed to a solid piece of, you know, utensil. Devar grirhu, that's not washed. A grirhu that you scrape off. You don't have to do kibus on that. But echad abegad echasak, and even oir, leather, qualify. You mean to say, leather is something that can be laundered? Lememra de oir ba kibus. So here comes a whole long discussion. Whether you can even launder leather, it pertains to the halacha of kibus in our discussion pertains to halacha of Shabbos. One may not launder clothing. What about laundering leather? What about washing your shoes? But I mean, we have a kasha on this premise. There's a gemara on Shabbos. How you solve lish leshes? You have a pillow, a mattress, and you find some dirt sitting on it. You can't wash it, right? That's a halacha of malabin, whitening, right? You're allowed to. You wipe it off with a rag, put a tissue. Hoysa shall oir, ah. But if you happen to have a leather pillow, then there's no issue using water. Noisen aleo, mai mashatichla, just, you know, pour some water until the dirt washes away. Apparently, there's no issue washing leather on Shabbos. No, so you see, kibbutz doesn't apply to oir, and now Mishnah, we're saying that we're washing that leather off. Amar Abaye, right? Leather doesn't qualify for kibbutz of the pasuk. Amar Abaye, it's really a machlekes tanai. Whether or not kibbutz, laundering, applies to leather. Because, you know, material, I understand, it's pliable, it absorbs the water, it gets washed. A hard piece of wood, you just scrape it, there's no washing it. But leather is somewhere in the middle. It's not as hard as wood, but it's not as soft as material. Is it, you know, susceptible to the process of laundering? I'm going to write Likasha to Machloikis. Harabonon Hachirim. Between the Rabbanon who say, no, leather is not given to laundering, whereas Achirim, which we know is Rav Meir back from Masechet Horias, holds that even washing leather constitutes kibbutz, constitutes an act of laundering. This time we have a brisa, habeged, v'ho'or, habeged v'hasak. Okay, so this is back to the halacha of the dam chatas that landed on these items, material, right? A shirt, sack, which has some dam chatas dripped on it, mechapsa. So you do kibbutz on that. Okay, because these things can be laundered; they're soft. Right, they're agitatable, right? But hakliv ha'or, a solid, you know, dish or even a piece of leather, there's no need to do kibbutz. Kibbutz doesn't apply to the megarra. You just scrape it off the blood. There's no kibbutz. That's the shitas rabbanon. Or is not washable. Achirim, they disagree. Habeged v'asak, even v'ha'or mechapsay. Kibbutz applies even there. Hakliv, but a regular, you know, solid, hard kli megarra, that's just scraped off. Okay, so clearly it's Machlekes Tanoim. all agree beged and sock needs kibbutz. Oyer, according to Achirim, yes. And according to the Chacham, there's no point of doing kibbutz. And likewise on Shabbos, no issue with running water over the leather pillow, because it's oyer, and oyer is not given to kibbutz. Okay, so now based on this, how do we understand the following anecdote, the following story? Kiman Ozlo, Hada Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi related. And we want to know, whose shita is he going with? So the story was, Zimnin Sagin, he says, many times, I would be standing in front of Rav, serving Rav, and I noticed, mud on his shoe. This was on Shabbat. Shachshichile Mesani B'maya, I would rinse for him his feet, his shoes, Mesani B'maya, with water. Even on Shabbos, come on, Karabon. Apparently, that's like the Rabban who say leather is not given to kibbutz, and it can be rinsed even on Shabbos. Amar Rava, really? Umikel amad Amar Erlav bar kibbutz. Is there anybody in the world that holds kibbutz doesn't apply to leather? Ever possible? Vaksiv by the nega, right? Discover a nega on either vahabeged oyhash siha erev, piece of material, thread, on the loom, or kol kliya, or even on leather. Asher techabes, it's meant to be washed, laundered. So clearly, even leather is washable. Elam Rava says, Rava, let me explain to you what's going on. Kra, the pasuk that I just quoted, indicating that kibbutz applies to leather. Umas nisen. And likewise, our mishnah over here in Zvachim, that indicates that you can do kibbutz even on leather. Barakin, there are different types of leather. Soft leather, yes. Ki pligi bekoshen demachlekes. Between Rabbanan and Achirim, speaking about a different category, hardened leather, hard, tough leather. Okay, that's a separate category. And on that, the Rabbanan say no, and Achirim say yes. Okay, let's go back to that story again. He says, Zibn and Sagi, many times, have a kibbutz came to Rav, I would serve Rav, Bishach Shechle, Mesan Abimael, rinses dirty shoes, even on Shabbos. Okay, there's no issue, because so first of all, you have to specify that it's hard leather, otherwise it would be considered a malacha, v'rabbana, certainly going like the rabbana, otherwise it would be forbidden. Hadam Rabba. Now Rabba comes back and says, hold it, I think it's a mistake. La milsi de amri, what I said is incorrect. Regarding limiting that pasuk by the nega, which indicates that leather is washed, to soft leather only. Neku, should we go ahead, namely the krua, and establish and pin down, commit the pasuk, and say the chiksivan barak and chiksivan, the pasuk only speaking about soft leather? Unlikely. Mila askinen bechli as achsaligia. Are we not speaking even about utensils made of real, hardened leather, haboyim dinisayam, which are imported from, far countries, and even on those, become Rachman and the boy kibbutz is required even on those, right? Assumingly, the Torah is speaking about all of them, a full spectrum of leather items. Elam Rava says, Rav, I'll tell you how to solve that issue. Typically, kibbutz on oyer kasha, according to Rabbanon, is not applicable, but it's different when it had a tzara, had a nega. So notwithstanding its miraculous properties, but inevitably it has a physical, manifestation. It's sort of a growth coming out of the baget, or out of the piece of leather. It's a ras, by the nega. Kivadim gufeika parcha, since it sprouts, it develops from the actual leather. Mechachalei, it has a softening effect on it. It permeates the leather and loosens it up. Umashvei lach, and turns it into rach. Umashvei lach, it turns it into a soft leather. Despite it being a tough, hardened leather to begin with, but now that I've experienced the nega, it humbled it, it softened it, and now you can wash it. Amar Rava continues, Rava, ikash liha kash. If anything, the following question should be asked. We have that mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. We spoke about rinsing some, soil off a leather pillow, and it was okay, right? Let's think for a second. Chances are he's sleeping on a soft leather pillow, not a hard leather pillow, right? So according to me, Kibbutz applies to soft leather. How could he run water over it on Shabbos? That's kibbutz. That's malach. It's a malacha. Karmuksasais, right? The mattresses, the pillows, the rakan inu. Assumingly they're soft material. But it's not. The Mishnah allows running water over it. Hoysashal. Or if they were made of leather, don't worry about just rinsing them until the soil disappears. According to me, that doesn't work. Elama Rabba says, Rabba, let me explain to you how to address that as well. Kol kibbutz a less like kiskus, le shmei kibbutz. Kibbutz requires kiskus, rubbing, agitation. A kibbutz that does not feature agitation as part of its process, lo yishmei kibbutz, is not considered a kibbutz. So although it's leather, soft leather, which according to me qualifies for a kibbutz, he's simply running water over it. That's not called kibbutz. Okay, so based on this new insight, let's return to that story again for the third time. V'ha'damar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, he told us Zimin Sagin, have a kibbutz made the Rav Shachshichli Masan B'Maya, would rinse his shoes on Shabbos. And clearly, he's only allowing shichshich, like a superficial rinse. Shichshichin aval kibbutz, but a proper wash, agitation, loy, that's not allowed. Why? Iber rachn k'divrei HaKol. Okay, so let's see. If they were soft leather shoes, then it's going like anybody. Nobody would allow a proper kibbutz. Soft leather, is susceptible to a proper kibbutz. That wouldn't be done on Shabbos. Iber koshin kachem. Or, alternatively, if his shoes were hard leather, tough leather, why can't you properly wash them? Because that statement was following the Shitas Hachirim, that even by hardened leather, kibbutz would apply. Ask the Gemara, okay, Ihachi, if you're telling me that without agitation, it's not called kibbutz, beged nami. So why does the Mishnah only allow pouring water on the leather pillows because they're leather? Even if they're made of plain material, just run water over them without agitation, it's not kibbutz. Says the Gemara, beged, when it comes to material, it's different because of its softness and delicateness. Shuriyasai, simply soaking and getting it wet. Zeu kibbutz, that constitutes laundering because the water permeates runs between the fibers and cleans it out. And in fact, Rava follows his own, consistently with his own shita. Dama Rava zorak suda l'maiv, he throws his kerchief into the water. Chayev, even he didn't agitate it, just merely soaking it is a chiyuv of malachan shamas, in contrast to leather, which, well, with an agitation, doesn't constitute kibbutz. And he continues with another aloha as well, a little bit unrelated, but zorak zera pishtan l'maim chayev. Likewise, if he tosses some flax seed into water and lets it sit there and soak, he's chayev. He did a malacha. Why? Mishlem is sudar avid kibbutz. I understand that the material thrown in there is kibbutz. He's laundering, he's cleaning it. Elazar pishtan my time. What's wrong with throwing in seeds into water? Chidei mishon the magnet. Perhaps you'll say it's because it's germinating, and that is a violation of a malacha of planting, of zeireya. Yochi chidei b'sar and yami. So why are you picking flax seed? It would apply to any kernels, wheat and barley. So apparently that's not the issue here. Hanach islu riru. The concern is that by the flaxseed, by soaking it, it generates this like sliminess, this sort of residue that comes out, and they get stuck to each other as a mass. And therefore he has committed the melacha of elisha, taking separate, units and sort of massing them together as one mass. So again, why are you limiting it to flaxseed? If you take pieces of hide, leather, and you throw it into the water, it also has that same effect. It generates this sort of slimy, residue, which sort of sticks them together. Hasam kavet lisha. Difference is that by the flaxseed, they stick together and become a mass. It's like a dough. That's a melacha of lisha. As opposed to pieces of hide, even if they stick together, but they're still separate entities. They don't sort of mass together as one single mass. Dorash Rava. Okay, Rava got up and announced, Mutar l'chabris minu b'shabbos. You can actually thoroughly wash a shoe on Shabbos. It's made of leather, no issue of washing. Amalei Rav Papa the Rava. So Rav Papa responded, V'amar Chiya bar Ashi, What about that story for the fourth time today? Zimnan Sagin many times. Have a kibbutz the Rav. I was in front of Rav. B'shach shichele mesanim. I simply made it like a superficial rinse on his shoes. Shich shachinavel kibbutz lan is superficial, but not a proper kibbutz. And you're allowing even a proper agitation, a proper lan. Rav conceded, and with full integrity, he got up and said, "I made a mistake." Hadar, he came around. Uki Rav Amor Alehi got his Amora to get up again. That was like the announcer who would call out his words. Vidarash, and he announced again, he says, Dvarim shamarti lefneichem tovesem biyadi. What I told you earlier was a full mistake. Baram, rather, this is the correct version, kach amru, the following was taught, shichshich mutar, kibus us, even regarding leather, shichshich, a superficial rinse is okay, but not a proper laundry. Okay, so bottom line is according to Rava, we have two categories of leather, soft or hard. When it comes to hard, does kibbutz apply? It pertains to Shabbos, it pertains to, right? According to Acherim, yes. According to Rabbanan, no. And even according to Acherim, only if there's a kiskus that involves that agitation, which is a critical, you know, condition, critical component in the laundering, in the leather laundering process. By ordinary material, just simply soaking is kibbutz, but by leather you need a more elaborate process to be considered kibbutz. And all agree when it comes to soft leather that certainly kibbutz would apply. It pertains to kibbutz of damchatas, it pertains to Shabbos, etc. Location is makim kadosh. Hakibbutz makim kadosh. How do we know that kibbutz on a beged with chatas dam has to take place makim kadosh? Tan rabbana techavis makim kadosh. There you go. Straightforward. Likewise, the second and third halachas as well. Shviras klicheres and the rinsing of the utensils. Menayin, how do we know that's in a makim kodesh? Tam leimar, because right after it says klicheres hashduvishal, but yishav, you break the klicheres, so it's a continuation. Just as kibbutz needs makim kodesh, likewise this. And thirdly, mrikur shtifa klein choshes, that is also makim kodesh. Menayin, how do we know? Tam leimar, because then again the pasuk continues, even klein choshes bishal, if you prepare the carbon and klein choshes, umurach b'shuta b'mayim, you have to rinse it in water, and presumably in the same location. So the Mishnah concludes that Chatas has an advantage over other karbonis in terms of the kibbutz requirement. Zechemer b'chatas. Sulaka, there's no other element of advantage that's found by Chatas and not by others. Ba'ika, shenichas dam alafnim. What do you mean? A Chatas has an advantage, a big advantage. In some cases, by Chatas apnimi, the blood goes into the heichel. You don't find that by other karbonis. Well, we're not talking about that category of chatas. But chatos ha-chatsoinos, we're speaking about the external chatos. Okay, so it doesn't have that advantage. But it does have another advantage. Shim nechnas dam alefnim psulo. Even the chatas chitsoinos, if its blood was imported into the heichel, becomes pasul, which is not found by other karbanos. The answer is it is. We're going like Rabbi Kiva, who says it's a universal halach applying to all other karbanos as well. Rabbi Kiva damar, kol damim shim nechnas lechap al heichel psul. Okay, so that's out. But what about the fact that a chatas has a very broad and powerful kapara capability? Shekei mechaper na chayiv krisis. It atones for very serious kareis sins when done unintentionally, which you don't find by other karbanis. The answer is we're not talking about that chatas. We're talking about a lower level chatas. The chatas of shmiyas hakol, which is coming to address a witness who falsely promised, turned down the offer to testify, right? As if he doesn't know. So that chatas brought in that case is not atoning for kareis. But still, shekein tuna arba matanos. A chatas, unlike other kabanos, his blood is meant to be applied on four separate applications on mizbeach. The answer is Rabbi Shmuel. Dama kol dam tunin dal matanos. The answer is going like Rabbi Shmuel, who says all kabanos need four applications. Well, says the Gemara, it's true that according to Rabbi Shmuel, all kabanos need four applications. But after all, it's only going to take place in two locations, two on this side, two on that side, right? You can hit all four walls, but it's still on the two opposite corners, which are split into two each. Okay, but it's still different than a chatas, adalat kronis, which needs to be on four separate distinct locations on the four separate corners. Why isn't that mentioned as an advantage? Well, you're right. V'tamecha koin to you. There are many more advantages that a chatas has over the other ones, which aren't mentioned. Now, you could care. What about the fact that the in contrast to the other karbonis that go on the wall of the mizbeach, the chatas goes up on top on the corner. Hayka etzba has to be applied directly with his finger. Hayka chud has to be at the edge of the corner. You're right. Elachad mitrei plasa chumri nakat. Instead of going through the extensive list, the Mishnah sort of picked out as a sampling one of two, three advantages that suffices to make the point. But you're right. Certainly it's an incomplete list. There are many more chumrais in my list that a chatas has over the rest. Okay, so in summation, dam chatas that dripped on a beged requires kibbutz, mokim kodesh. It applies to a beged, to sack, even to leather, depending on the opinions. And the general principle is it has to be something which is a functioning garment, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ro'i l'kavol tumah, according to Rabbi Lezer, actually m'kavol tumah, and takes place mokim kodesh. Likewise, the breakage of the kli cheres and the rinsing of the kli nechoshes. The Mishnah concludes that in fact kibbutz is an advantage, is a chomer applicable to chatas over other karbonis, amongst several other chomers as well. All the best to you and a hatzlacha rabbah.